I've been here in the Mountain Home area for about 15 years. When I exited active duty of the Marine Corps, we moved here and we settled in, and we're set our roots here, and we're not leaving. I'm a small business owner. My wife's a physician here in town. We have three small children. We're members of the Methodist Church here, the First United Methodist Church here in Mountain Home. I'm a Rotary member. I've been on several boards, including the Hospital Foundation's Merck Family Education Center board. I've chaired that board and been vice chairman on that board, and I've also sat on the Library Advisory Board as well. So we both my wife and I enjoy volunteering and being active in our community.
Three little kids at home. I'm sure that played the biggest part in your decision to run for the Mountain Home Public School Board.
It did. Ultimately, that is the reason, right? So I'm fully vested in the welfare of our school district because my children are going to be in this school district for the next 15 years.
Your thoughts on the current state of our school board?
So they have a very difficult job. Right. There's a lot of differing opinions out there, and there's a lot of those opinions are expressed both positively and negatively. So they've made a number of really hard decisions. The school board still has a number of very hard decisions, stuff to make. I'm not anyone to criticize any decisions pro or for because I haven't been a part of those decisions. I haven't heard the planning committee meetings or all the different meetings that happen behind the scenes, even just the public ones. So I think they're doing the best, and I think they've got the best interests of the district at heart.
There's been a keen interest of late with libraries within school districts. You have served as a board member for the Baxter County Library, so you have a unique perspective on libraries and such. Have you looked into any of the concerns about books that are in the current library system at our school?
So literacy, of course, is one of the most important things, right? It's a metric that's always looked at as, hey, where are we doing? How are we doing in academic performance looking at those literacy rates? It's not a question I can answer definitively. I've heard the concerns that there are books that are not age appropriate, right? So I don't think I'm not for banning books. We do need to make sure that, hey, there are age appropriate books. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that our librarians that are in the school, those are tasks that are delegated down to them, and that's a job for them to make sure.
You mentioned three little ones at home is the why you decided to do this. Is there a specific issue facing the school board that has piqued your interest more than others?
Not particularly. I mean, the question of the day is the millage, of course, but there's so many more issues that face the school board, and it's a continual thing, right? This millage issue may get decided at the same time the incoming board member gets decided, and this new board member may not even have to deal with this millage issue, right? There are decisions that are being made right now at the state level that our state legislators are looking through, say Governor Sanders' Learns Act, right? And if that passes and it becomes codified into Arkansas law, that's something that school districts around the state are going to have to implement. And there's going to be a number of decisions on how to implement that and implement that correctly and on time, et cetera.
Are you in favor of the Learns Act as is?
I don't know enough about it right now to talk about whether I'm for or against it. Plus, it's still working its way through the legislature. So until there's the final signed bill, we won't even know exactly what final form that it's going to take.
You mentioned the millage. Of course, everyone wants to know, do you have a current stance on the millage?
Yes, ma'am. So as I said earlier, they've made a number of very difficult decisions, and they still have difficult decisions to make. The school board made a decision last year and put together a plan and submitted that plan to the taxpayers and said, we need a new high school facility. I believe that we need a new high school facility. All the education that's provided leading up to that vote showed that there are very specific inadequacies and deficiencies with our current high school. So I believe that we need a new high school. That said, that millage failed, right? It was a narrow vote, but it still failed. Does that mean that the majority of voters say we don't need a new high school? No, it doesn't mean that. Okay, and I'm one of them. I think we need a new high school. I don't like any higher taxes any more than any other property owner does in this area. But it is a system that we live in, and we know we need a new high school. So a millage is going to be required. The question that I have, and I haven't heard answered, is this the right millage? So the taxpayer said, no, this is not the millage that we want last fall. And so here, 5-6 months later, we turned around and the same millage with the same plan with only minimal changes is being submitted again. Well, why is that? If it's the only solution, if the board says, hey, this is the only solution that works for us, that's going to work and fulfill what we need as a high school facility, then I'm 100% on board with this millage, and I'm going to support it, and I'm going to vote for it again.
Okay? Is it the same plan? Because the specifics of phase two is laid out in this plan, and that wasn't before. Secondly, the amount of the millage is the same, but the value of the money is a lot different than it was back in August. So is it the same plan?
Correct. And I'm talking big picture here. The 2.25 mills, the building is basically the same. There are some specific changes in the wording on how that money's going to get used, et cetera.
There is changes on the wording because following the public meetings that were held in after the millage was defeated, the majority of people, there was a meeting at the high school where they came out and said that last line of the ballot issue, it was too vague and they wanted more specifics. That was the number one thing that the community asked for. So the school board came back and ratified that and took that line out. So it's not the same.
Okay. And these are the details that I need questions, that I have questions about and I need answers about. So as I said, the big picture is it's still the same facility. It's still the big, very attractive building that the architects mm-hmm. put forward. So why didn't we see maybe a lesser option, right? We have to remember that the attractiveness of a facility, right, is not going to equate to academic aptitude and performance. And that's ultimately what we want. We want our students to get the best education and to graduate high school with the best knowledge that they can have. And a building doesn't necessarily equate to that. The architects do what architects, they did what architects do. They built a very amazing facility. It looks like it needs to be on the cover of Architectural Digest. It looks like a West Coast tech company's headquarters, okay? And when that vote failed, why weren't we maybe shown another option? Said, hey, instead of that big, pretty building, maybe let's something that's maybe a little more economical. When you make these decisions, you have to also look at second and third order effects mm-hmm. of raising the millage mm-hmm. on. We have retirees that move to this area, and they absolutely look at our tax rates. So if we start raising tax rates, right, and it may deter retirees from moving to this area. They have a choice. That can lead us into a negative cycle potentially, which has a negative effect to our school district. So these are all things that need to be looked at. I went to a high school in Mississippi. It was cinder blocks, standard windows, metal roof. It was not a particularly attractive facility, but academically, it was one of the highest performing schools in that state. So we have to remember that the facility does not equate to student performance, and that spending a lot of money on a very attractive school is not going to necessarily solve some of these academic issues that we have within the school district.
What issues specifically academically would you like to see addressed?
I don't have anything specifically. I've seen some metrics previously about where we're at academically and how many folks are kind of below average and above average. The goal, I think, is always continual improvement, right? We always have to get better. There's always room for improvement. So to take our high performers and move them up higher, to take our average and even below average, give them special attention and continue to move them forward. You know, we'd mentioned Learns Act earlier, right? Right now, there's a proposal in there that if a student is below average in literacy, right, that there is a provision for private tutoring, right, a voucher for private tutoring for that student. So that may be a very positive thing to help bring up some of these lower performing students.
Well, one of the biggest concerns with that bill is with a third grade reading level, if a child is not at that level, then they want to employ 150 literacy coordinators throughout the state to address that. We're already at a teacher shortage. How can we address a teacher shortage and then again hire an additional 150 literacy coordinators throughout the state to address that?
You know, so one of the things that voters are going to learn about me is if I don't know enough about it, I'm going to say I don't know. And so I don't know the answer to that question. So that's definitely something that I want to look into and educate myself more and ask those questions as why and how are we going to get this done?
And one of the biggest things with the Learns Act, of course, is raising the minimum teacher salary to $50,000.
Correct.
Where we have many, many longtime educators throughout our district that are already above that amount, and being able to reward them and continue with their success moving forward, how do we manage both of those?
Sure. Governor Sanders has made education, improving and reforming our education system, a top priority of hers. So the way the bill is written right now, there's a provision to have the starting minimum wage mm-hmm. or the starting teacher salary for a new teacher to bump up from, I believe it's $36,000 or near $36,000 mm-hmm. up to $50,000, mm-hmm. right? And that's going to take us from almost the last in the nation up to the top five, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be fantastic for teacher retention, right? So not only attracting other teachers to our area, but retaining our Arkansas teachers, et cetera. It's going to provide a salary raise for those that are already making over that $50,000 in salary. I think I saw a $2,000 a year salary increase. So these are all positive things. There are some other provisions in there that we'll see if they make it through, such as student loan forgiveness plans, et cetera. So, and these aspects, it's going to make it easier to retain teachers that are Arkansas teachers. We're going to have teachers that want to come back and teach, and as well as maybe helping hire these literally advocates around the state.
Service in the Marine Corps and a product of public education, correct?
I'm a product of both homeschool. So I was homeschooled through my earlier part of my education. I went to a private school in Mississippi, a small, very small private school. I graduated, but I was one of 16 in my class. And that's just the nature of the small rural town that I was in, not that it's a very small elite school. And then Louisiana State University, which is a public university.